Welcome to the Fantasy Football Foursome. The Foursome answer your questions about players to pick up, players to drop, weekly matchups, injury reports, and current trends in fantasy football. Now, here's the host of the Fantasy Football Foursome, John Jennings.
Well, good Saturday morning, an exciting Saturday morning, because the NFL season has kicked off and it's time for the Fantasy Football Foursome. This show is brought to you every single week by these great sponsors. That includes ACC Midwest Transportation, West Central Trophies, Rough Swings and Sports Bar, and the United States Marine Corps. Holy smokes, do we have a full plate today. Let's kick it off with who's on the show. Go ahead, Eric.
Thanks, John. Yeah, just looking forward to a good fantasy season. Should be interesting with having all four fellows on here today.
Oh, boy. Jack.
Yep, Jack Culberson, Atlanta, Georgia. I looked up the official Arthur Smith tight end rankings, John. He's never had one go for 500 yards. We got bold predictions coming up for you. I'm going to beat up the NFC South today. Stay tuned for your NFC South expert analysis.
Just what everybody wants to hear. Justin.
Reigning Lombardi champion, Justin Havemeyer. Team name, another brick in the waller, as I am building a palace right now for my dynasty team, as well as our league of record, the Loon League, as I go for a three-time champion this season.
Well, Lyle, good to have you back on the show.
Yeah. Had some good vacation time with the family and ready for fantasy football now that Kadarius Toney has showed up and given us lots to talk about for fantasy football this week.
Yeah, for sure about that. My name is John Jennings. For the next hour, we're going to be talking about fantasy football week one. And on the slate today, we're going to talk. I'll be running off the. We're going to run out the remaining slate, talk about stardom, sit 'em there. We've got some waiver wire talk because, well, the ACC Midwest Transportation Injury Report does have some names on it that matter. We're going to talk daily fantasy football as well. And let's kick it off with that injury report. As most of you probably know at this point, Cooper Kupp out for week one. I don't know if he's still in Minnesota trying to get this hamstring thing figured out. Do not be starting Cooper Kupp week one. Jerry Jeudy has a hamstring, grade two hamstring, probably about 75% healthy. Probably not a wide receiver one this week, likely out, you know, as always, keep an eye on Sunday morning. Terry McLaurin, turf toe, grade one. Careful starting Terry McLaurin. He was a full participant in practice on Thursday. That's a good sign. Mark Andrews has a quad strain. He missed six practices. He's returned to practices, but he's limited. Zach Moss fractured a forearm, had surgery. He's making a push at wide receiver one because old Jonathan Taylor is out. We'll talk more about that. Jackson Smith and Jigba.
RB1.
What's that?
RB1, John. RB. He said WR1.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, thank you. RB1. Jackson Smith and Jigba is going to be on the field for this the Seahawks with the wrist injury, likely with a brace. Mike Evans, groin strain. Who knows? Maybe he just wants a new contract, which he does. He should be out there, too. Christian Watson, new hamstring strain. And Romeo Doubs might be out, too. Keep an eye Sunday morning. Hollywood Brown with a new hamstring strain. I don't want any part of that team anyway. Jalen Waddle, an oblique strain. He should be all right to go. George Kittle with a groin, had a setback. Joe Burrow should be on the field with his calf. Breece Hall, probably time-sharing with Dalvin Cook. Traylon Burks has an LCL sprain. He should be all right. And that does it. Holy smokes. Anyway, let's get to Thursday night football. And let's, I guess I was a little surprised. Lions take care of the Chiefs in fairly convincing fashion. Eric, Chiefs wide receivers. Hey, we all drafted Sky Moore and Kadarius Toney. And what happened?
Yeah, you got to catch the ball, John. I mean, I don't know. You just, a lot of drops. They are obviously missing Kelsey out there and definitely showed. I hate the Lions too. I just hate the fact that we got to talk about the Lions and they won. And I didn't draft any Lions, John. So like disappointing to see some success out there at the wide receiver in the NFC North. You never want to see a team win in the NFC North, you know, and I guess the Lions are relevant.
Well, we knew they got better. I had them picked as the winner of the North. Justin, David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs. Gibbs, a highly touted rookie. I'm sure every draft he was drafted over David Montgomery. David Montgomery seemed to look a lot better.
I mean, he produced more, but I thought they both looked really good. Mm-hmm. Montgomery ran hard, broke some tackles, you know, got 3 yards when 1 yard was there. And that was huge, especially at the end. Jahmyr Gibbs, yeah, it's a little disappointing fantasy points wise, but if you watch the game, man, is he exciting. I mean, he's got a whole nother gear that almost nobody else on the field seems to have. So I am still super excited about having him on a few teams, and I just, he looks quick and explosive, and I think it's just a matter of time. As far as the game, you know, Chiefs wide receivers, you guys know better. You know better. You've been doing this since Tyreek Hill left, and you keep thinking you know which one it's going to be. And a couple games out of the year, sure. Leave them for DFS. Quit taking shots at them. But we'll see. It's only week one, right? A receiver could absolutely emerge. But Mahomes, I thought, looked real good. His receivers lost that game for him. You think about the first Tony drop, it turned into a pick six. You take that off the scoreboard, and it's a different game. And then he had two other huge drops as well. So it was a fun game. It was a great way to kick the season off.
Don't forget his negative yardage running on the end around.
You better learn how to speak Canadian fairly soon. All right. Well, that's the first segment. We're going to come back and talk daily fantasy news and strategy. I have a feeling it could be a sassy morning on the Fantasy Football Foursome. Thanks for joining us on the Fantasy Football Foursome. Time for some week one daily fantasy news and strategy. Love this stuff. Interesting weather conditions for the games. We'll get to that in Trenchum and Benchum. But still, certainly some great plays out there. And let's start at quarterback for DFS. Eric, what are you looking at?
Yeah, I'm trying to save some money here, John. I'm probably going to go all the way down to a Derek Carr, which is, you know, sometimes in DFS, you want to be different than everybody else, but you also want to get that bargain. So at $5,300 instead of $8,000, where like a Patrick Mahomes was or a Lamar Jackson, I'm going to give you a little bit New Orleans action going with Derek Carr.
Justin, quarterback.
Yeah, I like Derek Carr. One of the stacks I was looking at is Derek Carr, Chris Olave. I went with Geno Smith, who's $6,100. Great matchup against a terrible, terrible Rams secondary.
Jack.
Save even more money and get you some Sam Howell with Arizona traveling to Washington, $4,900. Save your money.
Well, I am going to be stacking Herbert and Chargers, and then on other lineups, I'm stacking Tua and Dolphins. I want every part of that matchup that I can get, but if I am saving money, I am with Jack 100% on Sam Howell. The matchup is great, $4,900, and I don't know if there's any stacks available there with Dotson and McLaurin, but there certainly is value. This guy's not a rookie. He did play a game last year, and he ran like crazy at North Carolina. I like the upside with Sam Howell. Let's move on to running backs. Justin.
Yeah, I went kind of mid-range here because I spent up on receivers, and I kind of stayed away from Miami Chargers because I think a lot of people are going to go that direction. I went with J.K. Dobbins because Houston couldn't stop the run at all. They were so bad against the run that their pass defense was one of the highest ranked for fantasy football, just because people didn't throw. Dobbins is $6,600. And then I'm going to grab Gibson. I like the matchup as well. My concern with Howell is he just doesn't have to throw the ball at all after halftime, and we get a heavy dose of either Gibson or Robinson in the backfield. So I threw Gibson in, $5,200.
Running backs, Jack.
Whew, that's way too deep a take for me. I just went as cheap and fancy as I could. I got some Mostert in Miami. I agree with you, Justin, but I'm going to take a little chalk on her. And then for $5,400. And then for $5,600, I'm taking Miles Sanders, Carolina, going to Atlanta. Everyone can run on Atlanta. You know, Atlanta is a lot like Justin's mom in that fashion. You know, everyone gets a turn and just, you know, take her and go. So there you go. You have it. You have it right there.
Running backs, Eric.
Yeah, John, I'm gonna start Eckler. I think Eckler is the number one running back to own this week, so I'm going to spend a little bit of money there. But Jack took my guy, Mozart. I think that's a great take. I think Mozart is a must start, considering Wilson's only $100 cheaper, and he's on the IR. So I'm not quite sure what's going on with DraftKings, but you know, Mozart's a must start. And then DeAndre Swift, again, $5,400. I think he sneaks at least a touchdown. Philly's going to put up a lot of points. So I like DeAndre Swift as your second running back.
I like Rashad White this week against the Vikings and $5,500. I do believe, as stated, that Sean Tucker. What in the heck is going on? Justin Tucker. Could you imagine that? Anyway, there is going to be a backfield by committee eventually, I think, in Tampa Bay. I do agree with the statement, but I don't think it's going to be week one. I think Rashad White's going to have a nice game against Minnesota. I think he's working on catching the ball a little bit more. Baker Mayfield's going to be blitzed all day long. There might be some dump-offs. I think he's going to be a great value. He's projected at 14 points. I think it's going to be a little bit higher than that. How about some wide receivers, Jack?
Yeah. I'll just give you all three of mine quick. I took the chalk with Jefferson and Hill. I was able to afford them because I had Howell and everybody else. And then I threw in DK Metcalf for the exact reason you said, JJ. The Rams secondary is awful. Geno Smith looks really good all the time. Walker's questionable at running back, so I think it's a great start with Metcalf. And then in my flex, I was able to squeeze in a fourth receiver, John, for $3,300. Looking older than Lyle's dad, who was just on here, Randall Cobb with the New York Jets. I think that Aaron Rodgers is going to target him and get him the ball. I think Aaron Rodgers is going to come out and go, hey, I can get anyone the ball. And for $3,300, I'm throwing a dart in the flex.
Yeah, I would say so. Eric, wide receivers.
Yeah, bold prediction, John. Jack does not do well in fantasy football this year.
We'll see. That's a flex. I mean, $3,300. That's all I have left.
There you go. You know, I'm going to go with Cortland Sutton. I mean, I'm taking a risk here on Denver. I think Denver has a good season. But if they look anything like they did last year, beware. But I like Sutton for $5,200. You're spending your money here, so I'm obviously putting Garrett Wilson in there. I made a bold prediction that he's going to be the number one receiver in the league this year as far as touchdowns, so I'm putting Garrett Wilson in there for sure.
Justin.
Yeah, so I've started my lineups recently with going with the receiver first and then trying to link a quarterback stack to it, just kind of looking at what's there. I have Jefferson and Metcalf as well, Jack, in there, and then I have Olave and Marvin Mims Jr. for Denver. You know, Judy's out for this game. Marvin Mims is, you know, the wide receiver too. And I think they're going to focus attention, Vegas is, on Sutton. So Mims, he's only $3,000. You know, he could have a big play touchdown. And then, like I said, I paired Metcalf with Geno Smith vice Chris Olave with Derek Carr. I have both receivers in there, so you go either way.
Yeah, I'm looking at the $3,000 guys, too, because I do have a lot of Waddle. I do have a lot of Tyreek Hill, and I've got some Mike Williams. So for $3,000, I am in total agreement on Marvin Mims. I think that's going to be a nice play for that price. The other guys I've got, there are two other $3,000 guys. One of them is Jaden Reed from Green Bay, with Watson probably not going to go. Dobbs is banged up as well. I like Jaden Reed for $3,000. And then Eric's guy, Puka Nacua, coming in at $3,000. No Cooper Kupp. I don't have any faith in Van Jefferson. The only thing I have faith in is that the Rams are going to need to throw the ball a lot. So somebody's got to catch it other than Tyler Higbee. And I think maybe Puka Nacua can get you that 10 to 12 points that you're looking for on a $3,000 salary. Tight ends. Let's go back to you, Eric.
Really quick, John, you just renamed your fantasy team because the closed caption, when you're saying that receiver's name,
did it say Puke?
It says Pukin to Cool.
Oh, Pukin to Cool.
That's your new
Thank
team
you.
Name.
Thank you. Tight ends, right. Eric, what do you got?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Fairmuth. Pittsburgh looks good. I think he gets a touchdown at least. And for $4,100, you know, I'm not spending the $6,200 on Andrews, especially with the injuries. I mean, he looks like your top guy for a bargain price.
Yeah, the tight end punt is in play. Justin, tight ends.
Well, I'm going to go with a guy that I want on my team just so I can change my fantasy team name to Turd Ferguson. And I'm going to go with Jake Ferguson for the Dallas Cowboys. In every season of Dak Prescott's career, his tight end, and he's had a couple. I know it's only a couple of good ones, but they're always number two on his team in receptions, with the exception of, I think, the Amari Cooper, CeeDee Lamb first year, then he was number three. He might have been number two that year as well. So I'm going with Jake Ferguson, $3,200 against the Giants. And now I have a player on Sunday Night Football I can watch.
Jack, tight ends.
Yeah, now see, it's funny. I changed it. It's Turd Ferguson now. Beautiful call. I like Juwan Johnson, New Orleans. We talked about him already. Tennessee coming to town. I think New Orleans will have a pretty decent little game. $3,900. Felt like it was a good steal.
I like the Freiermuth call. If I have more money than that, for $100 more, I can get David Njoku, who has a nice matchup against Cincinnati at $4,200. If I have no money at all and I'm playing the punt game, it's Hayden Hurst at Atlanta, $3,000. The guy can play football. The guy has a rookie quarterback. We all know the story. The rookie quarterback goes to the tight end a lot. I like that punt play for $3,000. How about we roll through defenses fast, Justin?
Yeah, I'm taking the obvious chalk call here. It's the Washington Commanders with a very formidable defensive line playing against Arizona Cardinals. They finally announced a quarterback, and Vegas didn't adjust the line whatsoever. It made no difference, which is unheard of for Vegas when they're setting odds. So I like the Washington Commanders defense. I think their secondary is going to be pretty good this year as well.
Jack, defenses?
Agreed. Washington Commanders all day.
Yeah.
Need the money elsewhere.
Eric, defenses?
Yeah, I mean, defense is kind of a crapshoot. I mean, the number one defense, I'm going to go with the Vikings. I mean, if you have the money to spend, I think they have a fantastic game one. Although, you know, they might give up some points. I do like them as the out the money to spend. I mean, it's only a couple $100 more than the defenses these guys said.
Yeah, I'm a big Commanders guy, too. Push comes to shove, it's the Raiders against Denver. That's it. Raiders coming in at $2,300. All right, we're going to come back and talk waiver wire, and then we've got some bold predictions we want to share with you. Thanks for joining us this morning on the Fantasy Football Foursome. Thanks for joining us this morning on the Fantasy Football Foursome. Hey, if we can help you with stardom, sit-em, any trade advice, anything like that that comes up, just shoot us a text here on the Loon text line. It's 320-434-1234. All right. Waiver wire. Yes, it's relevant right now. You heard the ACC Midwest Transportation Injury Report. So, or maybe some players kind of picked up some steam and you've got a little dead weight on your bench, like Jack has Kadarius Toney and all of his teams. Maybe it's time to cut that guy. So let's just talk about players Let's talk about players regardless of their position, and maybe some guys you're eyeing to just get on your roster. Not necessarily start, but get on your roster. Jack, throw out a name.
Well, anybody but Kadarius Toney, I'll tell you that. I think once waivers open back up, if you don't have McKinnon from Kansas City on your team, I think he's maybe worth a bench spot. I want to say, I don't know if Clyde Edwards-Helaire had a good game, but I think Pacheco might have come up a little limp at the end of it. I couldn't remember, but I think you want a part of that offense. It's just not going to be Kadarius Toney. Now, don't give up on Sky Moore, but other than that, who knows?
Sky Moore was irrelevant in that game.
Yeah, but don't give up on that guy. You know what I mean?
I agree. I'm also saying don't give up on Kadarius Toney. He's just too talented. He'll get it figured out. Lyle, well, give me somebody.
We see that. We see what he can do.
Eric, give me somebody that belongs on your bench at this point in the season.
Yeah, John, I'm going to start. I'll give you some quarterbacks that I think, you know, they're still only rostered, like Kenny Pickett. I mean, I don't know if you've watched the Pittsburgh offense in preseason, but they look pretty good. Kenny Pickett only owned in like 40% of leagues. I think he's worth a bench spot and maybe even a Derek Carr. So I'll give you two names at quarterback, because Derek Carr, I mean, that New Orleans offense could be good. And again, worth a bench spot for a guy who's only rostered in 30% of leagues.
NFC South, I agree with the Saints could be all right. Justin, give me somebody worthy of a bench spot.
I'll give you two. One is running back Sean Tucker for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I just don't think Rashad White is that good. I don't think there's anything special about him. And he's going to get a ton of volume. So I think Tucker has a chance to overtake him as the number one running back. And then I'll also give you Reed, the receiver in Green Bay, with Watson and Romeo Dubs potentially not playing. So those are the two guys I'll give you.
Sean Tucker would have been a high draft pick had he had heart issues. And so he went undrafted and the Buccaneers snapped him up and he's cleared to play. So I like that pick too. I'm going to throw out the name Juwan Johnson in a tight end mandatory start league, still available in 59% of leagues. Hey, we play tight end roulette. That's just how it goes. I think the hype is very real. Just like Eric said with this New Orleans offense. I mean, I'm not saying they're world beaters with Carr, but I think they're going to do all right. Let's just look at the division they're in. Lyle, who do you have?
Well, I have Jordan Love in a lot of leagues, just for if you're looking for deeper quarterback stashes, but I also like Kenny Pickett. I think he's available in about 60% of leagues. I know Pittsburgh hasn't been talked a lot on the show, but this is a good team, and I think they're going to be much improved with Pickett having a little more, I don't know, just a little more confidence to run the offense in Pittsburgh this year.
Yeah, second year stuff. Jack, anybody else on your radar?
Nope. No, if you're looking to make too many moves right now, that's because you drafted like John and you have Kadarius Toney in your starting lineup. Love how you said I have him on every team. Zero teams. But I got some bold predictions for you.
Well, we'll roll around to that. Eric, anybody else on your radar that's worthy of a pickup and stash?
Yeah, I mean, I'll go with kind of like your take, John. I mean, thank you, Captain Obvious, for the obvious pickup. Let's pick up Van Jefferson. Van Jefferson owned in only, 27% of leagues. So, I mean, with Cooper Kupp out, I mean, Stafford's going to get some kind of thing going with somebody there. I mean, that is how Stafford is. He builds a relationship with one guy. He likes to throw to one guy. I think Van Jefferson has the chance of being that guy. Kupp could be out for up to 4 weeks. So I think Van Jefferson, get him on your roster at least.
Justin, anybody else on your radar?
Yeah, I'll give you a couple tight ends. The first one's Tyler Higbee. If he happens to be sitting out on your waiver wire, he's on quite a few, with the Travis Kelce injury. And then Juwan Johnson for New Orleans as well, I think is not a bad pickup either, or a bad play against Tennessee. I'm kind of excited about Derek Carr in New Orleans. I wish I'd invested a little bit more in some Saints players during my drafts, but I just, they all kind of fell where I had other people I really liked.
Lyle, anybody left on your radar that you're looking for?
Well, after Thursday's game, maybe a little Josh Reynolds just as a insurance wide receiver. It looks like Jameson Williams, with his suspension, is going to be out for a while. And I mean, 4 for 80 is nothing to sneeze at. So hopefully he's somebody that you could roster in a pinch, I think, as a maybe a bye week replacement down the road for some of these guys that, I don't know. I think he's worth picking up. Let's just put it that way.
The last two I have for you quickly are running backs that I think you're not going to see a whole lot of them from in September, maybe October, probably November. Jaylen Warren, Pittsburgh, available in 52% of leagues. I think he's just going to overtake Najee Harris. I think he's a better back. Devon Achane in Miami. I don't know what's going on in Miami. They may roster 6 running backs. I don't know for sure, but I think he is worth a roster spot. All right, we've got some bold predictions that we wanted to make. It might be for week 1. It might be for the entire season. But we've got some bold predictions that we want to throw out there and get on the record. Jack, give me a bold prediction.
All right, I got 2 for you quick, John. 1, like Lyle mentioned, the Steelers, they win the North and upset the Bengals. The Bengals have to get a wild card to get in. 2nd bold prediction, Atlanta opens the season 1-0. And for the first time in history, Arthur Smith will have a tight end that has more than 500 yards in a season, but it'll be just barely over 500 with Kyle Pitts.
All right. Justin, bold prediction.
Not 1, but 2 rookie tight ends will end the season as top 10 fantasy football scoring tight ends. Yeah. That is my bold prediction, number 1 for 2023.
That'd be a big deal for sure. Lyle, give me a bold prediction.
Bold prediction? Even after last night or Thursday night's game, I think the Vikings and or Detroit will not win the NFC North. I think the Bears or Packers will win the NFC North.
That is bold.
Just when you thought Lyle was level-headed and always had the good takes where you could rely on him, he goes and throws it all away.
Be some paint fumes rolling through that new place years, Lyle. Eric, give me a bold prediction.
If you could have just seen all of our faces as we waited for what Lyle was going to say there. Where is he going with this? You know, I'm going to say not only will Garrett Wilson be in the top five for receiving touchdowns this year, but he will finish number one.
Mine for you is that Jonathan Taylor sits out this entire season. Not that bold, I guess. I think Anthony Richardson's going to be just a total failure. I think that he's going to just not get it this year. You know, Josh Allen's first game as a starter, he lost 47-3. And I would tell you to pick up as much Jacksonville defense this week if you need a streamer as you can muster up. I just don't. I'm not smelling it for Anthony Richardson, at least not yet. All right. We're going to come back on the Fantasy Football Foursome, and we are going to break down each game, the remaining games for this week's slate, and talk about who to start, who to sit, everything else that goes along with it. Go see our friends at WestCentralTrophies.com. Pick yourself up your own trophy for your fantasy football league. It's a lot more fun when you've got a trophy traveling with you. Again, it is WestCentralTrophies.com. Great local business just north of Wilmer on Business 71. Anything we can help you with along the lines of fantasy football, just shoot us a text, 320-434-1234. We will be right back on the Fantasy Football Foursome. We're back for the final segment of week one of the NFL season and the Fantasy Football Foursome. We're going to break down Trenchman Benchum, talk about the remaining games on the slate, and let's kick it off, Jack, with Carolina facing your Atlanta Falcons.
All right, well, let's start on the only side of the ball that matters with Atlanta. You're definitely not starting Desmond Ridder as your QB. We have a super flex league, and I don't even think he's starting in the super flex league. I want to say Carter drafted him, but it might be his third QB in that league just in case. But you are going to have Bijan Robinson. He's going to be in there all day long as your RB1er, probably your RB1 right after the draft. We'll see how he actually plays. Kyle Pitts, tight end mandatory, Drake London, PPR leagues especially. Arthur Smith is the problem on this team. I'll tell you this. He is, John. He just is. I went through his whole bio this last week, John, in preparation for this. What do you want to talk about? The guy is a freaking joke. Don't get me started on how he dodged military service after 9/11. All right? I don't like the guy. I don't like him at all. He's a son of a rich kid, and I got nothing for him. He's a terrible coach. He looks like I don't even want to get into it. Defense. The Atlanta defense will be improved, and the kicker is good if you're in one of those leagues still. All right, on to the Carolina side of the ball. Bryce Young looks a lot better. Superflex, I am starting him. I think I might have him as my QB2. You're not starting him in a 10-team, one QB mandatory kind of league, but if you have a bench spot and you're bored to death, go ahead and throw Bryce Young on there and let's see what happens. Miles Sanders, I think it'd be a big game for him. Talk about him in daily. I think that anybody can run on Atlanta every single year. Seems to always happen. So, you know, someone in Carolina is going to have to get the ball, and I like it to be him. Not a big fan of any of the receiving options in Carolina. I'm just not. I wouldn't start any of them personally. I think in this game you might have one or two solid starts, and both of those are on Atlanta's side.
The hot start is Mingo, because Carolina's receivers are really banged up. Atlanta favored in this game at home by 3.5 points. Lyle, Houston, Baltimore.
The C.J. Stroud era. Who drafted him in any of your deep, deep, deep leagues, right? C.J. Stroud, probably going to keep him on the bench just to see how things go before you're playing really any Houston Texans here. Damian Pierce is the only play. I think he's pretty much your one and only Houston Texan that you're going to put in your lineup, because they're putting Robert Woods, Nico Collins, and John Mechie at receiver. So maybe some Tank Dell down the road, but I don't think you're playing any of their receivers. Maybe Dalton Schultz, deep tight end mandatory league. I think you could maybe squeeze in some Dalton Schultz if you're a big Houston Texans fan. Otherwise, we're moving on to Baltimore. Baltimore, you're playing Lamar Jackson. J.K. Dobbins is on the PUP list, it looks like. Is that correct? So maybe some Gus Edwards week one. Mark Andrews is definitely a start. And then they've got quite a cluster at receiver. It looks like Odell Beckham, Rashad Bateman, and Zay Flowers are in that order on a depth chart. Honestly, though, if I'm going to play just one of them, I'm probably going for the upside of Zay Flowers because it sounds like he looked really good in camp. And if I was going to play one of the three, I'd play Zay Flowers this week. And that Baltimore Ravens defense, they're a must start this week.
Looking at it, Lyle, Dobbins isn't on pup. He's a good to go. And keep an eye, though, on Mark Andrews because he might be a game time decision. And if that's the case, in my opinion, the only tight end handcuff worthy of being started is Isaiah Likely. Rain in the forecast, and Baltimore is favored by 10 points. Justin, Cincinnati and Cleveland.
All right, well, let's keep this simple. It's week one. Ja'Marr Chase is in the lineup. Joe Mixon, he is in your lineup. T. Higgins, I am trenching him. And for where you drafted him, Joe Burrow. Interesting stat for this game, Joe Burrow is 1-4 against Cleveland in his career, and Cleveland has won 8 of the last 10 games between these two teams. Something I was surprised to hear. That's it. I'm going to stay away from the Bengals defense. They're a little bit banged up. On the Cleveland side of the ball, Nick Chubb is in your lineup. Amari Cooper, likely have to start Njoku in a tight end mandatory. And if you are, bitten by the injury bug with Cooper Kupp and, Jonathan Taylor, if you're in one of those scenarios where you've lost a couple players and you're digging deep, Elijah Moore, not the worst flex play. He's been lining up a lot in the backfield, and Ford has been injured most of the preseason, so there's a chance he gets a fair amount of carries behind Nick Chubb just to spell him a little bit. And that's it on the Cleveland side.
Anything you want to say about Deshaun Watson?
Yeah, absolutely. I was going to say something. So based off of you saying Cleveland always wins.
Chance of rain in the forecast, Cincinnati favored by 2.5. Jacksonville and Indianapolis, Eric.
All right, John. Yeah, always a good football game when these two teams play. Going to start on the Jacksonville side of the ball where there's a lot more fantasy relevance. Trevor Lawrence, you definitely drafted him to play, so he's definitely in your starting lineup. Travis Etienne Jr., he's a top, I think he's an RB1, definitely an RB2. Calvin Ridley, got to have him in the trenches. Christian Kirk, he's a good, sexy, flexy. Evan Engram, I love him at the tight end position this year. And, maybe that Jacksonville defense, just because I'm not quite sure what the rookie is going to be able to do, especially without Jonathan Taylor. So if you have Jonathan Taylor, hopefully he is on your IR and you've picked somebody else up. Maybe Michael Pittman and Anthony Richardson are the only two worthy of a start on the Indy side. Again, keep expectations down. Anthony Richardson's only worth a start if you have like a two quarterback league, but you're going to want to put him on the bench till you see what he can do. And then the running game there, John, there's two running backs. I'm not starting either one of those guys, Jackson or Hall, putting them on the bench.
Jacksonville favored by 4.5 points. Back to you, Jack. Tampa Bay taking on the Minnesota Vikings.
Well, this one will be kind of simple, too. In Minnesota, you're starting all your key players. I think this is going to be one of the most electric offenses all year. So let's go Jefferson, Hawkinson. I've got Alexander Mattison on a bunch of teams. I drafted him pretty late, and I'm hoping that he comes to play. I mean, I've been listening to interviews with him. He's extremely intelligent. He's a mountain of a man. So I'm hoping that that translates into some production on the football field. Vikings defense, I'm still sketchy on. No way I'd put them in the trenches. I would bench them against anybody, including a Baker Mayfield-led Tampa Bay, just because it's week one, and I think you have better options this week. Baker Mayfield came in. I can't remember what team he went to last year. Was it the Rams or whatever?
Yep, Rams.
But he came out and won a game quick. You never know when he's going to have one all-star game, and I just don't want the defense on that right now. On the Tampa Bay side of the ball, Mike Evans, potential holdout still, John. Have we heard anything whether or not he's even playing?
I as of this morning, I do not see anything. He gave them a deadline pretty much of Sunday to have that contract renegotiated, and I haven't seen anything yet.
I don't think he plans to hold out. That's just when he's going to cut off talks, and he's a highly talked about as a potential trade candidate during the season to a contender.
Yep.
Yeah, so I guess if you draft him, you probably have to start him because it's week one, but you hate starting a guy with that mentality in the game like that. Godwin, I think, is a good start. The running back, but outside of that, I really don't like much going on in Tampa. I mean, the NFC South is Atlanta is literally the most talented team in the NFC South, and that is so scary. Until Kamara comes back from suspension, then it'll be New Orleans.
Okay. Minnesota favored by 6.
I have New Orleans. I hit Atlanta by quite a bit right now.
Right now? No way.
Yes. Speaking of New Orleans,
Bijan Robinson, Drake London, and Kyle Pitts.
Did you say Desmond Ritter?
Yeah. Coach-wise, yeah. Derek Carr? Right? Is that your white horse you're riding in on, John?
Wouldn't you be stoked if you had Derek Carr right now instead of Desmond Ritter?
I would.
Oh, I'd be. I would be Derek Carr bandwagon leader number one. But I don't have him, so he sucks.
Speaking of the Saints,
for your honesty,
Lyle, Tennessee taking on New Orleans.
Yeah, well, speaking of Derek Carr, he's coming up right here in the breakdown here. We'll start with Tennessee, though. Ryan Tannehill, he's got lots of competition for players looking for a job. Will Levis and Malik Willis on the bench for now, and that's where Ryan Tannehill belongs in your fantasy lineups this week, on the bench. Derrick Henry's a RB1. DeAndre Hopkins, a new addition to their team. I think he's probably a safe wide receiver, too, at this point. You drafted him. You're playing him. After that, it gets a little sketchy. Treylon Burks, I mean, maybe he could be a flex for you. I've got him on the bench this week. And they've got something called Chig Okonkwo at their tight end. So I've heard of him before, but you're not playing him week one as a tight end. Definitely not playing that Tennessee defense either. Going on to New Orleans, the aforementioned Derek Carr is in there. I think you could play him this week, but you're probably not. I mean, he's more in that Kirk Cousins realm, so he's probably on your bench. With Alvin Kamara being suspended, I think definitely Jamal Williams should be in your lineup. He should be an RB2 and a solid one at that. Chris Olave has emerged as a wide receiver one. I think he's safe to go for week one. Michael Thomas is healthy. If you have him, you're probably going to play him this week. I don't have him on any of my squads, but at this point, if you drafted him and you planned on playing him, this is the one time where you're going to play him, because the last three seasons, he's only had like 10 games. So play Thomas if you have him. Juwan Johnson and a tight end mandatory, I could see you playing him as well, but I'm playing neither of these defenses, Tennessee or New Orleans.
New Orleans is favored by 3. Over to you, Justin. San Francisco and the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, this is a game I'm actually excited to watch. I think it has a fair amount of starters that people are happy to have on their team, but not necessarily excited about this week, because it is a defensive matchup for sure. I will start on the San Francisco side. Christian McCaffrey, CMC, he is in the trenches. Debo Samuel is in your trenches. George Kittle, if he plays, you're going to have to put him in the trenches. He's had a groin injury, but I do think he practiced late this week. So he's in the trenches, Brandon Ayuk, and I'm also putting that 49ers defense in the trenches as well. Ayuk is in that flex wide receiver 3 range for me. Moving on to Pittsburgh, Deontay Johnson is probably in the trenches for where you drafted him, as well as Najee Harris and Pat Freiermuth. I'm excited about George Pickens, but I don't think this is going to be a big game for him necessarily. The pass rush on both sides is good, so I don't like either quarterback, to be honest with you. My only concern with Pickens is he had kind of a limited route tree last year, and it didn't seem to expand at all in the preseason, but we'll see going forward. My interesting stat for this game, San Francisco was one of the 4th worst teams in regards to giving up fantasy points to the slot position last year. And for the Pittsburgh Steelers, that is Pat Freiermuth. So I feel better about him than most Steelers this week.
Rain likely. San Francisco is favored by 2.5. Next game up, Eric, Arizona. And what the hell is going on there, taking on the Washington Commanders?
Yeah, this could be a snoozer, John, but, it's a football game. So who am I putting in the trenches? We'll start on the Arizona side. James Conner, I mean, where you drafted him, he's an RB2. You have to start him. He'll probably sneak a touchdown in, get you anywhere from 13 to 20 points. So he's an RB2. And then Hollywood Brown, probably the only other guy I'm starting there. And again, I'm reluctantly starting him as a sexy flexy at best. And then Rondell Moore, make sure you pick him up if he's available in your leagues, but just stash him away on your bench. On the Washington side of the ball, McLaurin, because where you drafted him, he's a sexy flexy, and that's it. I'm not starting Robinson or Gibson, but you might be as a sexy flexy depending upon your league. If it's a 12-man league, something like that, John, you're probably playing both those guys. One of them will score a touchdown. One of them will have a good game. The other will have an average game. So I like, that's it on the Washington side.
I like Dotson this week. Josh Dobbs, congratulations. You are the Arizona Cardinals starting quarterback. Clayton Tune, the backup, tanking for Caleb Williams, Washington favored by 7. Rain in the forecast. Late afternoon games, Jack. Green Bay, Chicago.
Yeah, let's talk about two teams with no chance to win the NFC North. Here we go. So in Green Bay, if you're starting Jordan Love, you don't know how to draft QBs. If you're in a super flex, maybe. If you got to start a receiver there, Christian Watson. I do like the running back, Aaron Jones. And I really like the Green Bay defense, especially against, as you pointed out, John, the smack your own lineman in the back of the head with the football, Justin Fields. So, you know, I think that's maybe 2 starts in Green Bay, not a whole lot. Aaron Rodgers took the mojo with him. On to the Chicago side of the ball over here. I tell you this, I'm definitely benching Justin Fields. Now, I know everyone's going to say he runs a lot and he gets fantasy points. I still think he's going to do it against Green Bay. It's week one. I mean, in the Loon League, he's not a top 10 QB. He's just not. And we always talk about the Loon League. Oh. You guys think Justin Fields is going to be a top 10 QB?
This thing on?
He was a top 5 quarterback last year.
Yeah, he ran for 1 billion yards. And he didn't take off to like he the ran for a week. Billion yards, Justin. He's not
and he will again.
He's not going to do that again. Every running quarterback 100%. Drops off. Yep. Every running quarterback drops off, and he's going to be one of them that does it as well.
Jalen Hurts.
Let's name all the great running backs still in the league. Let's go through that list. Cam Newton, Mike Vick, where are they at?
Well,
come on, man.
None of them dropped off in their third season.
All I can say is I'm so glad I have this audio.
You might have me there, but I'm just saying I'm not starting the guy. I don't know how anybody has faith in Chicago or Justin Fields to do anything, fantasy or real. I just don't understand it, how you got there. But I would start the running back. I'd start Herbert. I don't mind Kmet if you have him. Honestly, DJ Moore, the best receiver. I didn't get to see them in preseason, but I know he's a great receiver. He was good in Carolina before too. So if you're going to start a receiver in Chicago, I would go DJ Moore. If you're starting Mooney or Claypool, I think you're desperate on your wide receivers. Again, because all Justin Fields can do is run. But that Green Bay defense is legit. So I like Green Bay in this game in a big way.
Chance of rain in the forecast. Chicago favored by 1.5, Jack. Over to you, Lyle. Las Vegas taking on Denver.
Yeah, pretty simple setup here for Vegas. It's Jimmy Garoppolo's debut with the Raiders. You're not playing Jimmy Garoppolo. Very doubtful he's even on a roster for fantasy purposes, let alone a QB1, so keep him on the bench. Josh Jacobs ended that holdout. Looks like he's good to go for the game. You're playing him as an RB1. Devontae Adams, same thing, wide receiver 1. Putting him in your lineup, he is for sure a start. After that, it gets sketchy because they got Jacoby Myers and Hunter Renfrow as receivers. I think I'd keep those guys on your bench if you have them rostered at all. And then they've got Michael Myers, Austin Hooper, and Jesper Horsted at tight end. So after they let go of or traded away Darren Waller, it looks like they have not replaced him on the roster. So no tight ends in your lineup for Vegas. Then we're on to Denver. Denver is trying to start Russell Wilson up again. I don't know what to think of Russell Wilson at this point. Hopefully you're not playing him in week 1 for fantasy purposes. I got him on the bench. Jamonte Williams coming back from a bad knee injury, and it looks like he's getting encouraging reports, and it sounds like he's going to play quite a bit in the opener. So I think he's a safe running back 2. You could probably even flex Samaje Perine. I'm going to guess they're still going to mix him in with Williams coming off that injury. I think Perine could be a flex play for you in week 1. Judy's got a hamstring injury, so Jerry Judy's on your bench. I think the only receiver you're playing this week for the Broncos is Cortland Sutton. I know there's been some talk of Marvin Mims, but I'm going to want to see it before I'm putting him in the lineup. And Greg Dulcich in a tight end mandatory deep league. I think he could be a back end starter for you this week. And definitely not playing either of these defenses.
Thunderstorm in the forecast for Denver. And Denver is favored by 4. Justin, Miami and the Chargers.
So this is the opposite of the Pittsburgh-San Francisco game. This, I believe, has the highest over-under. We checked kind of before the show for the week, so we expect, or Vegas, the experts, expect a lot of offense. So Miami, Tyreek Hill in the trench is Jalen Waddle. He's in your starting lineup. Tua, I'll absolutely play Tua this week. I think it's a pretty good matchup, high-scoring game, great weather potentially. I'll stay away from the defense. And Raheem Mostert, in a flex, some people, draft him as their RB2. I don't mind Raheem Mostert. I'm just not a big fan of the Dolphins running game because no one running back, until they get a true number one talented running back, I think is going to excel. It's just going to be a committee thing. But you can do worse than Mostert in your flex. On the LA, slip of the tongue, Chargers side of the ball, Austin Eckler, Keenan Allen, Justin Herbert, Mike Williams. If you lost Travis Kelce this week, Gerald Everett's a great play this week as well. And that is it for this game, staying away from both defenses.
Yeah, play them all. Chargers favored by 3 at home, over under, according to FanDuel, 50.5 points. Eric, Philadelphia taking on the New England Patriots.
Yeah, John. Well, we got a lot of fantasy on one side and not so much on the other. I'm putting Stevenson in there. I mean, he's an RB2, especially where you drafted him. And Juju Smith-Schuster is the only other guy worth a start. And, again, I'm not doing that with confidence. Zeke Elliott, he belongs on your bench. And then Mac Jones, if you happen to be the 5% of people out there that drafted this guy, you can go ahead and drop him. I don't know why he's on your team. Going to the Philly side of the ball, well, Jalen Hurts, he's an obvious must start every week. John, Jalen Hurts starts. A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert, I think, is going to have a huge day. DeAndre Swift, who has been pretty much announced the starter. I think they're going to kind of go with the dual back thing there, but I think DeAndre Swift, he's the guy to start. So he's an RB number 2. And that's about it, John. And that Philly D, always worthy of a start. But in this case, a must start.
Chance ran in the forecast. Philadelphia favored by 4. Jack, Rams, Seahawks.
Well, before we do, I just want to say that last year Justin Fields didn't score more than double-digit fantasy points in but one of his first 4 games. He had 2 games where he scored over 44 points, which is how he ended up ranking so high. Justin Fields is awful. Let's move on to some real teams, real players. We got L.A. Rams, Matthew Stafford. I have no problem starting Matthew Stafford in fantasy if you waited till the very end of drafting to get a quarterback. I think he's a consistent points provider, but I'm not excited about starting him. Tell you who I am excited about starting: Cam Akers, Tyler Higbee, and I don't disagree with Eric on the Van Jefferson call. Someone's got to step up. Now, we did see Van Jefferson not step up when he was presented the opportunity last year, but I think that might change for this year, and he does seem like the fastest, most talented receiver they have. Rams defense, I'm a little iffy on them right now, especially going against a squad like Seattle, where I'm going to be starting pretty much everybody. We're going to go Geno, Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf. Who's the running back in Seattle? No, my brain is
Kenneth Walker. Kenneth Walker and Zach Charbonnet.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, Walker. He's questionable, but you got him on your team. He's an RB2. I don't mind Noah Fant at the tight end spot. And if was it Smith and Jigba? He's healthy and he's a go, he looks like the real deal. He looks like a talent. So I'd have him in as a flex or maybe a WR2 until I know for sure. Just because with Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf, you're never going to be the first look. But I like this team a lot, John. I like the Seahawks a ton this year. Geno, the number 6 fantasy quarterback last year, is an actual quarterback that you can rely on. He's not going to score you 8 points. He's always going to get you good double-digit points. He won't bail on you like a Justin Fields does.
Chance of rain in the forecast. Seattle favored by 5.5. Sunday night football, Lyle, Dallas and the Giants.
Lots of starts here. Make sure you get these guys all in the trenches. We got Dak Prescott, quarterback one. You're playing him. Tony Pollard, gets his first real crack at the starting lineup with the Cowboys. You're playing him, of course, because he's a first or second round pick for you. Same with CeeDee Lamb. Suit them all up. Brandon Cooks, I think he's probably a wide receiver three or a flex. You're definitely playing him over Michael Gallup, who, you know, once again, has been passed up on the depth chart. Not sure what to do with him. I think he's either a bench guy or just a waiver wire guy for you at this point. Jake Ferguson takes over at tight end. Again, there's upside there, but I'm not playing him in week one. I'd like to see something from him on the field before you start putting him in your fantasy lineup. I will play that Dallas defense, though. As for the Giants, I know Daniel Jones got paid this offseason, but I'm not playing him in my fantasy lineups. I think you got to keep him on the bench for week one. Saquon Barkley, RB1, must start every week. The only other start for sure that I've got with the Giants is Darren Waller. I think he's healthy. He's ready to go. And he is their definite top pass catcher. So you're playing Darren Waller. The receiver situation is a mess there. Right now, I think they got Isaiah Hodgins as their number one receiver. So I think he's worthy of a flex, but no more than that, because Darius Slayton, Paris Campbell, Jalen Hyatt, Wandale Robinson, those are the rest of your receivers, and I don't think any of them have emerged enough to be playing as a fantasy option. And I'm definitely going to keep that Giants defense on the bench week one.
Chance of rain in the forecast. Dallas favored by 3.5. Monday Night Football, Justin, Buffalo, and Aaron Rodgers-led Jets.
What an exciting game. By the way, the Giants' number one wide receiver is clearly Darren Waller. At number two is probably Saquon Barkley. Just throw that in there real quick. All righty, Buffalo at the Jets. Two defenses that I like, and I know it's crazy to start with the defense because most people don't play defense anymore, but I would actually play both defenses. Josh Allen has a habit of making some bad decisions and giving games away occasionally. It's the first week of the season, a little bit of rust, and that Jets defense is very good. Outside of that, let's move over to positions. All right, Buffalo, Stephon Diggs, trenches, Josh Allen in the trenches, James Cook, love him in a flex play this week as well, kind of excited about him. Gabe Davis, kind of wait and see. You probably drafted him late enough that hopefully he's on your bench. Between Cook and Davis, if you're deciding between those two for some reason in the flex, I think I lean towards Cook. Tight end, I will play Dalton Kincaid this week, especially if you suffered a Kelce injury. I think Kincaid is one of the rookie receivers that finishes top 10 in fantasy this season. That's it on the Buffalo side of the ball. Moving over to the New York Jets, I am trenching Garrett Wilson. That's all I want to start this week. However, understanding how drafts go, options, injuries. If you have Breece Hall or Dalvin Cook, I'm good with either one in the flex. I think Hall is going to be more involved than most people expected in the first few weeks of the season. And I think, honestly, they picked up Dalvin Cook because they saw what happened to their team last year when Breece Hall went down. They're going for a Super Bowl run this year. I don't think that's any secret. And they just hedge their bets. They pick up a really good running back in Dalvin Cook just in case Hall's recovery was slow, he has a setback, or he gets hurt again. It doesn't completely change what they can do on offense.
Chance of rain in the forecast. Buffalo favored by 2.5. And that's going to do it for the week one episode of the Fantasy Football Foursome. We want to thank our sponsors. That's ACC Midwest Transportation, West Central Trophies, Ruff's Wings and Sports Bar, and the United States Marine Corps. Hey, if we can help you out in any shape, way, or form when it comes to fantasy football, it's the Loon text line, 320-434-1234. For Eric LeBroton, Justin Havemeyer, Jack Culbertson, and Lyle Dickman, my name is John Jennings. We'll see you next week on the Fantasy Football Foursome.